the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, not because our enemies came and conquered us, but because we couldn't get along amongst each other, sinas chinam. And so that's the, even if you look back at the flood, at the times of Noah, even though the people had sinned in many ways, it was when they were stealing from each other that Hashem said, you know, the world can't exist like that. Same thing with Sodom. We know that it's where the word sodomy comes from, but their guilt was because of the whole story with the guests that came to town and how they... at a certain minimum, we have to be good neighbors and we have to care for one another. Everything else counts, but if we can't even be nice to each other, you know, like that's when society has a breakdown. There were a big debate between Yosef and his brothers, and these were important debates. And Jews have had important debates with each other. On the other hand, we always have to remember we're talking to our brothers. I think the shock with the Rabin assassination was that we didn't think Jews did that. We have our disagreements, but we don't kill each other. That was like a foreign kind of, you know, that's just not part of our the way we're supposed to react to our differences. And that was shocking. Okay, so we begin the following. Ko Amar Hashem. This is what Hashem said. Ashlosha Pishe Yisrael. Hashem can forgive three kinds of sins. Usually the three kinds are the three cardinal ones, which are pretty bad. But even the really bad ones, you know, man has their challenges. But Al Arba, but on the fourth one, Lo Ashivenu. This one Hashem says, can't handle that. What was the fourth one? Al Mikram Bekesev Tzadik Ve'Evyon. On selling for money a righteous person, Bavor Na'alayim, for shoes. So tradition has it that after the tribe sold Yosef, what did they do with the money? They bought shoes. That's the tradition. That's what they bought, some shoes for that money. I don't know where and the Medrash mentions it. I don't know what the significance of it was. I guess also it wasn't that they stole him for a significant amount of money. They destroyed his life. They made him a slave for what? A bunch of shoes, you know, like what was the... sins can be forgiven, but not mistreatment. It's interesting. Even when Yosef has a complaint against the tribes later on, he mentions that they should have had mercy on him. He beseeched them as a brother, you know, and it's like a brother would, you know, should have somehow been able to feel, you know, what it would be like to be sold as a slave to a strange country. So Hashem said that we can forgive most things, but not mistreating your fellow people. That's as a society, we have to be able to stand up for the poor and the helpless and the people that are, even in Yosef's case, they felt that there were certain things he was doing that were not proper. Whether it was a tattletale or whatever it was that the brothers thought that he had these dreams about him leading over them and they didn't understand. That's not, usually we don't like people that come and say that I'm going to be your boss and you're going to bow down to me. I mean, I could understand that, especially when it's your younger brother, you know, I can understand that. In most cases, when people tell you they have a dream, it's because they're thinking that way. In this case, with Yosef, it actually was a prophecy from God. But they didn't believe in him enough to think that God would talk to him and send him that kind of message. They just refused to see that because they were so upset with him. And again, in the family, they sometimes family feuds are the worst. Sometimes, you know, it could be that. But again, the lesson to us always has to be to, you know, that even if we make other mistakes, we have to be careful with our fellow people and especially our family and especially others. And again, that's the connection to the Parsha. After that, it's going to be hard to connect it to the Parsha. That's really the first line. But let's see. Hashofim al ofar oretz barosh dalin. The people have desires to be on the head of the earth, and they want to do it on the heads of the poor. In other words, they want to take advantage of those, the poor people. And they take advantage also of the humble people, the Ish Aviv. And it mentions a strange thing. It's one of the more severe sins. A person and his father have relations with a... the assumption here is with a married woman. Laman chil l'shem kadshi, in order to profane my name. individuals sometimes have trouble with moral issues, but they are at least ashamed of it. They wouldn't teach their children to do it. But if a person goes and makes it a father and son adventure to be immoral, then society is really in trouble. The Torah said that Hashem chose Avraham because he would make sure his kids did the right thing. He would make sure to pass it on that this is the way we serve Hashem. And when you have somebody that trains their kids to do the wrong stuff, then the society is waiting for destruction. So that's like the father and the child having relations in order. There were people that sometimes sinned in spite, meaning that they do things they know are wrong because they're wrong. It's hard to understand such a thing, but there are people in society that will do something just because. Flag burning. What do they get from burning a flag? They got to buy the flag and then they got to burn it. Why? Because they just want to be in your face. They want to upset people. There's a certain, again, when you're not in that milieu, Baruch Hashem, I don't think we are. We don't really understand why somebody would want to do that. But there are people that like to do things in spite. They just do it because they want to be in the, they do in order to profane Hashem's name. They want to show God, so to speak. Nachmanides had a disciple that went off the path and became like a powerful nobleman. And I think he had his soldiers or armed men grab Nachmanides, and I think on Yom Kippur he ate in front of him a piece of pork or something. And he said, Rebbe, I did 5 sins. I ate pork, it was Yom Kippur, it was a slimy thing, it wasn't, he went through all kinds of, and why'd he do it? Because, some people, they want to just do it because they know it's wrong. We have to do things because we know it's right, because we know it's special, we know it's holy. Unfortunately, some people get that strange spark where they just want to do something. Why'd you do that? Well, because they knew it would evoke a response. They knew it was wrong. They knew, they knew whatever. But again, apparently that's here. The Torah says that people are supposed to loan their friends and neighbors money if they need it. And sometimes you loan money, they were allowed to take security. But you're not supposed to take... Security means that if somebody owes you money, you can... sometimes you can be authorized by the court to take their property until they pay you back the loan. So the society here is accused of al-baganu kavulim yatu. They would take away the garments. I mean, people would be cold. They wouldn't have their clothes because the wealthy people had taken their garments. And... they would recline on those garments as they would go to the altar, and they would worship the idols. They would abuse the poor so they could lead a lifestyle where they could worship the idols. V'yein anushim, and they had wine, which they had levied fees and things on the poor. They used that to drink. I don't know if they actually worshipped idols or these are strange gods. When people take advantage of others, whether it be they confiscate their clothing or they levy fees on them, or the some people, because they have power, they feel they can use that to take advantage of others. They have these things like payday loans, and they loan them money and they take advantage of them, that they're so poor that they can't make it to payday, and then they find out that they're being charged huge amounts of interest that they don't let them pay it back, and there are all kinds of tricks, and the poor get people that like to take advantage of elderly people, and they take advantage of poor, or they take advantage of anyone they feel who's vulnerable, who they can take advantage of. There are all kinds of scams today that are out there, and so the people that take advantage of the poor and the needy are in big trouble. First test, Vanochi. Now God says there were nations that lived in Israel who we got rid of because they weren't doing the right things, and we were supposed to be better. So Vanochi Yeshmadeti Amori. I got rid of the Amoris. I got rid of them only because we were supposed to be better, and now we're acting like the Amoris. Asher Begova Razim Gavu. And one of the things about the Amorim, these were a very strong nation, a very big nation. Hashem like destroyed them and uprooted them totally from the land so we could be there. Verse 10, and we came. You know, we're always supposed to remember our roots. You know, if we always think that this message that we were once servants, it's supposed to just sink into. We're not supposed to be arrogant. We're not supposed to be, when people think of themselves as coming from the common folk or coming from times that we didn't have, you just treat people better. You know, it's a person is born, you know, to be a lord over others. So this is the common. But if a person knows, you know, my ancestors were slaves. We were the guy who was doing, you know, taking out the garbage and taking the orders. So you know, when you order people around, you'll be nice about it. There's some people that you observe, they like to give people orders. I don't know, they just don't, they're not sensitive to it. Like they'll walk into a restaurant, give me that, and give me this, you know, and it's not our way to talk like that. You know, in Egypt, I suppose we were the waiters. You know, we had to do the, that's always supposed to remind us of how to treat others. Right? Remember, we were slaves in Egypt, and so they talk a different way. If you were a waiter once, then you treat your waiter differently. That's all. That's just the way it is. But if you were never a waiter, you know, the kids sometimes they need to discover that when they're teenagers, they order their parents around, they order their other people around, and then they find out about real life what it's like, you know. And then that's what Hashem is saying. I took you out of Egypt. Oh look, and I just, not only that. I provided for you in the desert for 40 years. It was not a one-time kind of thing. Oh, God did us a favor. Every single day for 40 years, He fed us, He clothed us, He protected us. And I brought you in to take over for the Amori in order to be better. Verse 11. And not only that, Hashem gives us certain signs of love and connection. I made that your children will be prophets. Prophecy is an honor that Hashem speaks to us, that Hashem dwells in our midst. Hashem said, I made it that your children can be really holy and can be godlike. Again, we haven't had prophecy in it's been thousands of years, but you had men and women who could, it would be such a unique thing to talk to God. I hear that from people. People really want to know why God does what He does and what's, but we had that. We had a time where we could communicate with Hashem, and people were able to achieve that, which is a remarkable kind of thing, to be so in tune with what God wants that He talks to you, communicates with you. There's another kind of holiness, which is something that called a nazir. A nazir was the one with the long hair who didn't drink wine. We don't have that today. Basically, people would commit to be extra holy for a certain amount of time. Certainly, minimum was 30 days. Sometimes people did it for years. In extreme cases, they did it for a whole life. Samson did it his whole life. But being holy means separating oneself and not going to drinking party. You know, a lot of, you know, you go places, people drink. A nazir wouldn't drink. A nazir would stay away from the cemetery, couldn't go there, wouldn't cut his hair, wouldn't be involved in his grooming. You know, our society, everything is about our grooming. You know, we have to have the nicest clothes, and we have to look the nicest, and we have to have the, you know, if you're a nazir, like, you can't focus on the way you look. You just let your hair grow, you know. You just don't worry about it. You just let it grow. Don't barber it. Don't cut it. And it's interesting. There is a certain part of our society that rebels that does that. They just let their hair grow. Sometimes what they do is, instead of just letting it grow, they do a funny haircut. You know, they do like a mohawk, or they do a, that's a little different, like a, yeah, they do it from different colors, and again, just because it's just such a. But the nazir did it to be holy, and he wanted to show that I'm not going to focus on the way I look. I'm going to focus on serving Hashem. It's not all about me and my appearance, and I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to focus on that. I just want to focus. There is a tradition that Yosef was a nazir. There's a verse in the Torah where it calls Yosef nazir echav. He tried to do a little extra. He tried to do more than his brothers. He tried very hard. He was it mentions also with the hair that there was something going on with the hair. it's on the one hand you don't trim the hair, on the other hand you grow very long hair, and they used to curl it, and they would be like a very beautiful kind of thing to. It mentions that he twirled his hair. I don't know what it means to twirl it, or that sometimes you see Hasidim, they have the peyas, they twirl them like they have it. I don't know where that comes from or what exactly that is. Hashem said that I allowed you to attain a very high level where you have kids that would be prophets, you have children that would be nazirim. This is a tzanachas when a person sees that they can be this, godlike and close to Hashem. And what do? Verse 12, Etishkes and Nazirim Yayin. And the Nazirim, you get them drunk. Vala Nevi'im, and the prophets that are here to tell you what God wants, they go to all that work. They went to prophet school, not to make money prophet, but to be a prophet, to get close to Hashem, and they prayed a lot, and they fasted, and they said certain prayers, and they developed into a prophet. But once they would do that, people would say, I don't know, I don't want to know, I don't want to hear, because they knew it was God would be angry with them and tell them what to do. So we had these prophets, and then people didn't want to hear from the prophets. In fact, if you read about the history of prophets, they had a hard life. They got thrown into prison, they got, they didn't like to hear what the prophets had to say. You would think this would be wonderful, we could find out what God really wants. And then here you had people telling us what Hashem wanted to say, and they didn't want to hear it. They didn't like the message. Verse 13. Hine Enochi Moi Tachtechem Kashetoka Gola Hamalea Lo Amid. Hashem's gonna. He says he's gonna crush us. I'm gonna push you down. He's predicting kind of the downfall of the 10 tribes that's who he was saying prophecy to, and he said, "Behold, I'm going to." You're going to be crushed, so to speak. Press you down. Well, I guess we always thought that we would be able to, we make mistakes, and we'll still manage with our mistakes. It's not, our load isn't too heavy to bear. So Hashem says that your mistakes are getting like a wagon that's too heavy to move. If you overload something, it can't move. And so Hashem said, you're going to be overloaded. Va'ava menos mekal. And some people feel that they can escape. Hashem said they won't. They won't have escape hatch. And they were very strong Jews. It's interesting. In the times, earlier times, Jews were known for being mighty warriors and very strong. Now people think Hanukkah was the Jews were very strong, but actually they weren't. We say in our prayers that they were the weak in the hands of the mighty. That was the miracle, that they weren't. They weren't known for being bodybuilders and super strong, but. If you went back to the Second Temple, we gave the Romans a run for their money, meaning that there were many nations that rebelled against the Romans. The Jews took more out of it. The Romans were the mightiest empire in the world, and they the wars that they had against the Jews were the most difficult. And most Jews feel that we would have defeated them, but Hashem didn't want us to. He was angry with us. But if you looked at it in terms of like the military, Jews were very strong and very mighty, and
we didn't fight the way armies fought in those days.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, Hanukkah story—that's guerrilla warfare. They came out at night.
For the most part, there was some real fighting, but the numbers were always against us. And during Hanukkah,
we used to line up though. Like a parade on how you fought.
Right.
And
right.
The Jews were really smart enough not to do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's correct.
Is this before the first or second temple with others?
This would be the first. Before the first temple. So Hashem is saying that we wouldn't be able to fight, and even though we were very strong, our strength wouldn't be there. And he says not only that, but Gibor lo yema, and somehow the courage would disappear. I guess to fight, you need to be quick, you need to be strong, and you need to have courage. And all of those three things are going to fail us. That's what it says. But Tofus Hakeshes. Now, sometimes you don't even need that if you have some good arrows, good missiles. He says, no, that's not going to work either. Tofus Hakeshes lo yamat, v'kabarab lo yamat. What about the riders? Well, the people who are going to ride, they won't be able to get away either. V'amitz libo begiburim. And what about all our mighty people? In times of David, the top army people were called? They were called the Giburim, the gibor, the mighty ones. We had that, you know, certain people are called the mighties, the mighty men, the giburs, the gibor, the strong ones. Gvura is known as like strength. So he says the giburim, they're going to run away naked, meaning without any, their strength is gone, bayamahu, num Hashem. So people, you know, they put their hopes in these, in military, they put their hopes in running away, they put their hopes in strength, and when the time comes, if we don't treat each other right, we're not going to have the strength, we're not going to win the battles, and it won't work. In the history of war, many times the wars were not, people predicted one side would win, and they didn't win. It's not an exact science. It's really Hashem makes the wars. In other words, it's not always what people expect ahead of time. Chapter 3. Shemus advar zeh shadibar shemalechem b'neisir. Listen to what I want to say. Akol mishpacha. And on the whole mishpacha. Now, why do we call us a family? Because that's the problem. We're supposed to treat fellow Jews like family. That's the real foundation of the problem that we have, is that your family, you don't treat that way. You know, a brother's a brother. A family is family. So we're called the house of Israel. We're one house. We're a mishpacha. We're all mishpacha. Asher halisim eretz me. Hashem took us out again. He took us out of Egypt. Rach, only you, yadata mikol, you were chosen amongst all the nations. And because you were chosen and you were given the opportunity, Al Kain, you know what? Jews often like to say, well, this is what the Gentiles do. Why are we any worse than them? And the answer is, it's because you were chosen. You were given the opportunity. You were picked because you could be a leader to the world. You could be a light unto the world. It's not enough just to be like a Gentile. That doesn't do the trick. So it kind of reads funny in this verse. It says, you were special, therefore you're going to get it. It's because you were given opportunities. I'm on verse 2. Rach eskem yadati mikol mishpacha. You were known, you were made special amongst all the families of the world. And other slaves were still left in slavery. Sometimes people, we like to think of Moses as Abraham Lincoln. You know, he freed all the slaves. He didn't free all the slaves. He just took the Jewish slaves out. You know, and there were slaves in other parts of the world. I'm not saying slavery was a good thing, but we weren't freed just because it's wrong to have slaves. We were freed because we have a mission in the world to make the world a better place. And God took us out in order to fulfill our mission, to be that family that would serve Him in the land of Israel. And because we were given all these opportunities to do the right things, so Hashem said, Can't accept it. Your sins will be remembered. Now, here is something unique to this prophet. It's like a question and answer. Again, prophets are kind of interesting. You have, sometimes they're poetic. Sometimes they use interesting language. Sometimes they used imagery. Here, it's kind of question and answer, and it's up to us to guess the answer. You can research it. Sometimes people would say that things were coincidences, but that there wasn't a power behind it. So the first one is here, is number 3. Hayechol shnayim yachtov. How could it be that two people end up coming together, bilti imnod, if it wasn't prearranged? This may refer to our enemies that happened to come against us. What brought, you know, usually they wouldn't act together, and here they did act together. Trying to remember what the specific thing is, but basically, when miraculous things happen, we have to realize there's a power behind it. Verse 4, Hayishag Aryeh Biyar, would the lion roar in the forest, v'teref einlo, and there was, usually the lion roar when it's about to attack, when it sees its prey. Over here, the nations, I think it was Nebuchadnezzar, had threatened to conquer Eretz Yisrael and had sworn he would. And people were saying, don't worry about it, it's not going to happen. And Hashem is saying, well, the lion roared, he sees his prey, he's already spending our money, he's already in his mind, he's already conquered Israel. Do you think he's roaring because he's like a lion, he sees his prey? Hayteng fear kolom yano bilti. Now, there's a lion and there's also the young lion. Would the young lion also roar unless it had its catch? And so if the nations of the world are roaring like that, that they're about to conquer us, there must be something to it. Do you think the bird will fall down if there's not a trap? Apparently they had like a bird trap that the bird would fly and it would run into a net that it couldn't see. And then when it runs into the net, it falls down. I don't know if they have that today. Is it nylon threads? In those days, they were very ingenious about their... They had traps. That's how they fed themselves. They were able to capture wild animals. And so if the bird falls down in the trap, do you think there's no trap there? And so if the Jewish people were being trapped, it must be that there was a trap set. Again, the same people were saying, oh, it's all a coincidence. We're not doing anything wrong. We don't have to change our ways. There's nothing meant to happen. So Hashem is saying, do you really think that's what's going on over here? This verse, verse 6, they quote Rosh Hashanah time. Im yitaka shofar be'ir v'am lo yechvedu. If the shofar blows in the city, they sound the alarm. Isn't everybody afraid? In the Jewish Community Center, was it last Sunday, or 2 weeks ago Sunday, and I was taking a shower after I went swimming, and the alarm went off.
Oh no.
So it's like,
what do you do?
Not only that, it was cold outside. I'm going to run out, On the other hand, I was terrified, what if it was real this time? What if there was a fire, what do you... So when you hear the alarm, you're nervous. You say, yeah, I'm sure it's a phony alarm. I'm sure one of the kids must have knocked the alarm. But you don't know. And so it's scary to hear an alarm. I got dressed. It would have made the news, if I had. When you hear an alarm, you get scared. In Israel, whenever you hear the ambulances, it's scary because, it's all family. You don't like to hear, even here in the neighborhood, when you hear the ambulance go by or the trucks, you start saying, tell them, right, that's right. Somebody's alarm went off, let them go fix it. It's not be anything serious, right? But when you hear an alarm, we're afraid. And so we're here in the 10 tribes had heard the alarm. The threats were there. The nations were sounding the alarm. Im tia ra be'ir v'Hashem lo asa. Do you think that this isn't because of Hashem? So people were aware that they were in danger from invading armies, and they were aware that there were threats made. But they weren't connecting that to, no problem. Just come back to Hashem and we'll get rid of the problem. They weren't thinking like that. But that's the way they need to think, is that this is coming from Hashem. Verse 7, Kein lo yaseh Hashem lakim dover. And Hashem doesn't do anything. Ki im gilas ode el avadavim. He's told the prophets. We often also, when a person doesn't understand things, you look in the Torah. The Torah helps us envision things and understand. Arye shog milo yira. When the lion roars, are we not afraid? Again, it's just interesting. I guess when you read these all together, you get kind of it's a certain sound to it. Doesn't this cause a reaction? Doesn't that cause a reaction? Hashem Elokim Diber, Milo Yenavet. And so if Hashem has spoken, so let the prophets talk. Let them deliver their message. Listen to the words of the prophets. See what they have to say. That's one reason, I was going back and forth earlier in the year if we should try to do a different subject or that. But Hashem wants us to listen to the prophets. He wants us to get the message. He has the prophets talk. We have to hear. We have a tradition that those prophets that we still have, it means there's something for us to learn from. In other words, there were really many prophets in ancient times who told people messages, but the ones that were recorded were ones that have a universal message that'll speak to us somehow in our.
Who decided?
Usually other prophets. some of them were how did they know? That's a good question, really. How did they know which books were part of the Tanakh, which were the Torah and the Neviim Ksuvim? Which books do you take and which books don't you take?
Ruach Kodesh.
I think so.
I've heard
were they the ones that finalized
that?
Because I guess the last book of it could be the Men of the Great, but they had prophets among them, the Men of the Great Assembly, and so they got a stamp of approval for the works that came from Hashem. What's interesting, Megillas Chanukah we have, but it didn't make it. It didn't get the stamp. Um, So we believe it's an interesting book, but it never made it as part of scripture or part of the...